supper, and we were singing, but we were bowling. So I told the boys, I said, hey, guys, I said, look, there's a secret closet. And they're like, a secret closet? And you open it, and it's like kid heaven, right? It has all the, like, the nets. So we were kicking the ball in the net, and now we were bowling. So all that fun stuff was going on. Oh, that's right. Yep. And when not Tanner. Was Tanner here the other week? Was it Tanner? Not Tanner. Huh? Trapper. So we were running the lines, but we didn't know, we didn't go into the closet. Now we go into the closet. So, all right. What's that? No. Yeah. Okay. This day in history, November, Janet, November 9th, this day in history, in 1989, do you know what happened? The Berlin Wall came down. So 1989, that's this day in history. So, which took us to some wall jokes. What did one wall say to the other? I'll meet you at the corner. Okay? Did you hear Bill Gates made an invention to see through walls? This is true. Did you hear that? They're calling it windows. Okay. And then why do electricians hit walls to deal? They need an outlet. All right, so if you're an electrician, any electricians? No, okay, all right. So last week we left off and we're continuing with Acts, kind of jumping around because last week we were in Acts 15. We talked about when the Jewish Christian church, the apostles, the elders in the church got together and they came together and made a ruling on, hey, what is good for the Gentiles to follow, and they kind of put that together. And then this week in 15, we're looking at when they wrote it down and kind of going in into that whole process. So Acts chapter 15, we're going to read 22 through 41, starting in 22. Then the apostles with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, also called Barsabbas, and Silas, two men who were leaders among the brothers. With them, they sent the following letter. And I also, you find it interesting that they don't call them that they were leaders amongst the leaders, but they were leaders amongst the brothers, because we don't have a hierarchy within the church. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We're one in Christ. So they were part, and they were leaders among the brothers. With them, they sent the following letter: the apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. This is what the letter said. We have heard that some went out from us without authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. So they're confirming this. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. Man. Such an easy letter, right? I mean, it wasn't like a whole document. It wasn't like that, but it was like to the point. These are the requirements from brothers to brothers, from church leaders, from the apostles to the Gentiles. this letter. Verse 30, the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time with them there, they were sent off by the brothers with blessings of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. 36. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and saw how they and see how they're doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, while Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers in the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This passage, a lot of times we talk about when we read this passage, what is many, many times we hear the, how do I say it? I mean, we all know what it is, but how Christians with disagreements, we always use this passage, right? I mean, that's what, how many times that I've heard this passage. So when Christians come together and disagree, this, so it happens with Christians. And a lot of times we read it out of this passage. We're not looking at that today. What I wanted to look at is what they delivered, what the apostles, what the elders, what the church delivered, and how it was received from the Gentiles. So, as we saw, the Gentiles get this letter. And it wasn't just a letter that they, okay, we're waiting on this answer. This answer with the letter, with men come, I mean, this is a big deal. So they all go to Jerusalem. Because you remember the people came in, the believing Pharisees then came in and said, you know what, Gentiles, you can't be saved. You need to be circumcised. And the Gentiles were like, dude, I'm not going to get circumcised. What are you crazy? I just want to follow Jesus. I understand that Jesus died for my sins and I want to follow him and I want to put my trust in him. And then the council all determined that the Holy Spirit, when Peter stepped up, the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles, and they weren't circumcised. They weren't following every detail of the Torah, but the Spirit was given to the Gentiles the way they were because they accepted Christ and believed into who Jesus Christ was, right? So that went out. So that's what these guys in Antioch were still waiting on, this answer to come back from these, the apostles and the church, because, you know, they wanted to follow Jesus. They believed in the gospel, what they heard. They believed in the stories that they heard of who Christ was. They saw miracles that Paul and Barnabas did. They heard of what Jesus did and being resurrected, and they believed. Right? Simple as that. They believed that Jesus was the true Messiah. Then all of a sudden, now, then the Pharisees come in and they start to taint the water because of their tradition of the background of the law. So there was this wall that was kind of forming, this wall that was being built between the Gentiles and the Jews, right? That's what was taking place here. So as they get this letter to come back, they're waiting because as a man, imagine being 50 years old and all of a sudden you believe in Christ and you're attending the synagogue and you're hearing all these things, and now they're saying, no, you can't be saved unless you get circumcised. That's a pretty big deal, right? And these guys were saying, wait a minute. we were told that Jesus died for our sins and we are to believe in him. That's what they were told. So this was a pretty big deal. So when the apostles gave this back, the Gentiles then, they came together. I don't know how much time it took, but they were waiting for this answer. So that's kind of what was building up. So when they get this answer, the church comes together, and how did they receive the answer? They were glad. They heard the answer coming from the apostles, coming from the elders, the Jerusalem church. Like, so this was kind of like, this is what you need to do. And there's relief. There was gladness amongst the Gentiles. And when you start to think about this wall, and you think about the requirements that the Jews were trying to put on the Gentiles, and the Pharisees now at the same point they're trying to understand, because they were believing Pharisees. So they're trying to understand at the same time how the law, which they were taught, which they understood, the requirements of the law for their salvation to follow, now all of a sudden, like as Jesus said, and as the Pharisees and the Jews killed Christ, now how that transfers now to these Gentiles, that they can have salvation. So the cultural effect was massive taking place. So as this came down to the Gentiles, they had relief. They were glad. So the message, title of the message is, what are we delivering? The Jewish church, the Jewish Christian church, delivered a message of salvation that didn't have all these requirements. And they told them, hey, these are good to follow. And revolved around sexual immorality and obviously food, right? Because was big and still is. So this wall was delivered. It was being built. And the delivery, what they brought in, what the message was, what they delivered was encouraging, was uplifting, was strengthening to the Gentile church. So we talked about the Berlin Wall, right? It's kind of like that. In 1961, the Berlin Wall was built. A lot of people, the history behind the Berlin Wall, 1961, after World War II, they started, after World War II, Berlin was set up in between France, Britain, and the United States, and then Russia, so Berlin was kind of like the breaking point there. One, and the reason I always remembered this story was in 1961, August 12th and the 13th, the East Berlin, which was the communist side, the Soviet side, all of a sudden started to put out a fence, barbed wire fence. They were separating East and West Berlin. The Soviets were on the east side. And I remember this not that I was alive in 1961, but I had a teacher who was a math teacher who was German. And she was handed over when the fences were going up, people knew what was coming. And her family put her over the barbed wire fence to other families so she could live in freedom. They couldn't get out, but they wanted their daughter out, right? And I remember sitting in math class, I forget how old I was, hearing this going, wow. So I always remember that story, she said people were trying to escape and jumping out windows over this fence. And over time, this fence then became a wall. Think about this wall, the Berlin Wall. It was 96 miles long. And it became concrete on each side with the no man's zone that was filled with mines to keep West and East Berlin separate. So 96 miles, to give you that thought process, it's from here to Ocean City, and then 5 miles. That's how the wall was. So by the time they got done building that wall, this breakdown of, and think about that, they weren't like different cultures. They were family. They were Germans, all German. Germans on the east side, west side. They had family on the east side, family on the west side. And over time, people would stand out the window over the years to look across the corridor to see family members that they couldn't talk to, that they couldn't see because of this wall, and that they couldn't get through with the wall with East Berlin. But they're all family. They were Germans. So this wall was built, but then in 19, and I remember this, you probably heard, remember when Reagan stood out there on the wall? You remember that 1980, I think it was, where he said, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, because they were trying to get peace. Peace. Then there was a politician who came out and in Germany and said, hey, we're going to be opening the gates. And then he gave all the details, right? And I think they say something was not transcribed correctly or whatever, but then the media took it and said, the gates are going to be open. And then all the people started to run to the gates, and the gates were flocked, filled with all these people. So the guards at the gates opened the gates up, and that started letting people in and out. And then that was the beginning of the end of the Berlin Wall, 1989. But this wall was built. This wall. And the message that was delivered to the east side, the communist side, when they heard a message that it's going to be open, how did you think that was? They were filled with what? Joy. Gladness. There's still anniversaries. They celebrate the day. They celebrate constantly in Germany of the time that the wall came down. The message that was delivered to the East Germans and to West Germans that we can be together again gave joy, gave gladness, gave an encouragement to these people, right? I mean, and that's a modern day thing. With what we're looking at today, it's kind of the same thing. This wall was being built between the Jews and the Gentiles, but the Holy Spirit already determined that there's no wall. There's no wall. And the breakdown of humans who then come into and step into the process to say we have to do these things for salvation, you have to do these things, started the breakdown, started to put up a wall of who truly Christ is, who the true Messiah and what he did was, right? That's what was taking place. It got, and this message was delivered. They were filled with joy. My question here is, what message, what are we delivering as Christians, right? As Christians, so many times, we hear a lot of great encouraging things about Christ, and we hear a lot of great things, encouraging thing about churches, and a lot of great things we hear a lot of time. But when you get down to us as people, what message are we delivering? What message are we delivering? And for instance, a lot of people spend a lot of time on, I just read another article, a lot of time on the internet. And they said, you know, which many of us know, pornography is vast and just, you know, tons of stuff going into pornography and people are watching it and people are sitting behind their computer. They don't think people can see them. They don't know people that everyone knows. Like that stuff's all being monitored. People know who's doing what. And people forget. But they think, well, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And they stand behind their little, their screen thinking that everything's fine. Well, pornography, sexual morality, isn't it? That's one of the things that the Jewish church said, stay away from that, which was also a Ten Commandment. But even here, the Ten Jews didn't even come out to the Gentiles and say, hey, follow the Ten Commandments. They didn't say that. They gave specific things. And then they were taught and they were encouraged on the other things and learned of the Christian life. But this wall and what we deliver, what's the message we should be delivering? I guess that's my question. These guys gave a message that brought gladness, right, to their brothers, the Gentiles, different people than them, a different nationality, people that they thought were pagans, were dirty, they weren't circumcised. They were eating at the time blood and strangled animals and all sorts of stuff. So they were looked at, the Gentiles, as barbarian people. I mean, that's how they looked at them. They were disgusting people. That's what they saw. That's what the Jews saw. That's what the Pharisees saw, because they weren't upholding to the traditions and what the law said in the Jewish. Okay. How many people do we know? How many people do we come in contact with? I said this the other week when I went to Lowe's. There was a guy, girl, wasn't sure what the person was. Only I knew they were a person. They were humanity, right? But they were obviously trying to live not who they were and trying to be a guy or a girl. I couldn't even tell. And originally, my mind in the front was, what's going on here, right? I tried to want to avoid them. And I had to internally look at me and say, because I just put up a wall, right? I put up a wall. Here's a human being that Christ died for. If they're transgender, if they're, you know, obviously they were confused. However, the process was there, but Jeff was putting up the wall. Jeff was being that Pharisee, breaking down my job of, I'm supposed to be a good witness to this person. I'm supposed to tell this, I might be the only person that comes in contact with this person, to tell them about Jesus Christ and encourage them to understand who they are in Jesus Christ, that God loves them, that God created them, however they were born, man or a woman, right? That was our job. We're supposed to be bringing a message, and sometimes we are putting up walls. We're not delivering what we should really be delivering, because we put up a wall, we stop ourselves, we don't want to talk to a certain person, or we don't want to say something because we don't want to offend somebody, but we're not doing it to offend. We're doing the process of telling people about Jesus Christ. The end runaround is because we're trying to save somebody's life from hell, right? And once we stop speaking, and if we're old, if we're young, if we're middle-aged, it doesn't matter. Our job is to deliver love and encouragement to strengthen people. Because the deception that takes place, which we always talk about, the deception, earth was giving to the Gentiles. The Gentiles received this message with gladness. They were encouraged and strengthened. And then Judas and Silas continued to speak to them. They were prophets, and prophets of the day, this time frame, these prophets, it wasn't like, hey, we see this stuff in the future. The prophets here was, they were encouragers. They were teachers. They were there to teach and to encourage. That's what they were doing. So the church here now in Antioch got this message. They were encouraged from this delivery, and they were glad of the message. Thus then begins the true pooling together of the church, right? You have the Jews and you have the Gentiles. Now kind of merging together more and more under the body of Christ as brothers. They weren't saying, hey, we're the leaders. It's just us on top of up here, and you guys follow what we tell you to do. No, we're brothers. We're brothers and sisters under Christ. And the message that we're supposed to bring, the message that we're supposed to deliver, is hope, gladness, love. That's not a free-for-all, obviously, which we know, but hope, gladness, love. The world's confused, right? People don't understand, and they take... And we saw it with the Charlie Kirk thing, with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, right? We saw that people don't understand, and the hatred is driven further and further into our society, and this wall continues to be built, and people are just continuing to pull people apart, where now, if you're an unbeliever, you don't even want to hear and understand what the believer says. You don't want to even open your mind to the aspect of, when I die, my soul goes to heaven or hell. Where's your soul going to go? There is a Chinese priest. He was a bishop in China. He just died, 90 years old. For years, he couldn't even remember how many times he's been arrested. He was beaten. He was brutalized. He was thrown into jail. He was starved. He was all sorts of torture, that he would stop the underground church. Because in China, they say, oh, yeah, you can have freedom of religion as long as you're following what the Chinese government says on your church. And this was a priest who, not only, they interviewed him one time, and he said, all I want to do. So remember what he said. All I want to do is speak of the salvation of Jesus Christ. That's all he wants to do. And he wasn't going to let the government control how he spoke of Jesus. He just died, 90 years old, but he was in and out of jail. He was brutalized and beaten. All you want to do is tell people about Jesus. He just wanted to bring and deliver a message. Bring and deliver a message of Jesus Christ. As we go about our, you know, we're coming into Thanksgiving. Great time for the United States, right? Coming into the Christmas season. We're coming into these times that people traditionally think, okay, and they remember Thanksgiving, and we're supposed to be thankful, and we remember Christmas, and we remember Christ. We're coming into a time where more and more people are open, and more people are seeking, but more and more people are also building a wall on both sides. What message do we want to bring? The other week I asked, you know, to pray and listen to what the Spirit was telling you. Continue to do that. I mean, there's someone in your life that you need to reach out to, that we're holding back from, or maybe not holding back. We just keep praying. I mean, maybe we've talked to everybody in our life that we know in our circles about the Lord. Maybe we have. Maybe we haven't. You know, I remember, just saw you sitting back there, so I remember high school. Like, when I was in high school, I went to a Christian school for many years, and then I transferred out because I wanted to play football at my public school. And in my high school, but the Christian school, I was just like, I was Mr. Fence Walker, right? I just did whatever I wanted, and then at home on Sunday, I was the Christian guy, right? But everywhere else, I was the not Christian guy doing anything I wanted. And it wasn't until I went to a public high school and I saw all the people. My class was like 800 people or whatever. I saw all these people that weren't playing a game. They just didn't know about Jesus Christ. Boom! That opened my world. That just changed my world. Because these people now are my friends. What message was I supposed to deliver to them? The message that I was supposed to deliver was a message of Jesus Christ, just like that Chinese priest, just like the apostles, just like the elders in that church, just like the Gentiles then who began to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Christ. Right? That's our message. We deliver over the next couple weeks, right? Remember that. Pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wisdom, Lord, that you gave our founding church fathers. I thank you for the apostles and the love that they had for you. And as scripture tells us right here, as we read, that Paul and Barnabas were men that risked their life for you, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, so many times we don't risk our life. So many times we don't risk our job. So many times we don't risk our friendships. And we certainly many times don't risk our life. Paul and Barnabas, as we saw in your word that you spoke to us this morning, risked their lives to bring the gospel, to bring the knowledge of you to other people. Lord, I thank you for those founding fathers of our church. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can get and that you will allow the Spirit to speak to us, that we can hear it, that we can take one little, just a little dab of that passion and faith that the apostles had when you left them, Lord, that they continued the ministry. Lord, just I pray for that. Lord, change if you need our hearts. Change if you need that we can listen better. Help us to filter out so much stuff and help us to really stop and hear and think about what you and the purpose that you have for us. Help us, Lord, not to build walls to other people. Help us to be people that are bringing a message of gladness, of hope, of love that can only be, and freedom that can only be found in loving you, Lord. I pray for that. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for the time that we can be here. In your name we pray. Amen. Anything else? Does anyone want to say something, sing, or if not, we're dismissed.